You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Parshas Devarim, topic of the first pasuk in Devarim is Teichacha. Moshe Rabbeinu gave rebuke to Klal Yisrael. And we're going to be quoting a heavily redacted piece of Sichas Musar, Maima Peches, a very famous fundamental Torah from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zechron Levracha. And as I always say, it's worthwhile to look at these marmakoimis, which I provide, so one should get the full impact of the words. We have to give a greatly condensed version because of time restraints. So, Devarim starts, Eilu Devarim asher diber Moshe kol Yisrael be'evar yarden, v'chatzeres v'dizov, and Rashi says that the word Devarim connotates divrei teichachas, words of rebuke, tough words. And the teichachas are given beremez, they're only hinted at. They're hinted in the words of v'chatzeros v'dizov. The names of these places allude to the averis that Klal Yisrael did in these places. And the reason why they are only hinted to, l'fikach sasam devorim v'zkirim beremez upnei kvodon shel Yisrael. So we see from the get-go, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that when one gives tochacha, they have to be very careful how it's given. And we're going to see from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and subsequently from other places that this is a dangerous thing to give to a chacha, because if it's given wrong, it could do the exact opposite of what the moichiach, the person who's giving to a chacha, wants to achieve. And the first reason that is given here is because the moichiach has to be very careful of the covet of Klal Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to be impinged. L'madnu mekan kama mutla l'moichiach lidoi v'liyos chored l'kvodin shel mekabel t'chacha. So we see from the get-go, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, how careful the moichiach has to be when he gives the chacha. And even though he feels the necessity to do so, Ein Lefalshim, he should not be too clear about the averis that were done. Just like here, Moshe Rabbeinu was not too clear, because this is a very serious business. And he goes into a number of interesting rayas. He brings proofs that there are a number of reasons that if Teichacha was not given properly, that it could have a disastrous result. Not only for Klal Yisrael, who are listening to this, but also they could have disastrous results for the Moichiach himself. And although he doesn't say this clearly, there are those who say that Moshe Rabbeinu, that the sin of the Mei Meriva, that he was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, was connected with Teichacha that was not given properly, according to some of the Rishonim. And he brings an interesting raya from Melachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, from the Radak. Again, a longer story, but the Pasuk seems to say that Elisha was Gurim the Misa of Klal Yisrael, that he killed people in Klal Yisrael. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz quotes a Radak that says that that Teichacha was given, and the people it was given to did not listen to Teichacha, and when that happens, then that could cause literally the death of the people who did not listen to Teichacha. And it was considered like Elisha killed them himself. And again, parenthetically, the Talmidim of Reb Moshe shared with me, Reb Moshe Feinstein, that there's a klal in Shulchan Aruch, Toiv Yim, Shagogim, Val Tiyo Mezidin, that the Poskim are sometimes very careful not to give Musa to people, that they shouldn't do things which are Osir. Again, if the person giving the Musa is not careful and doesn't think it through, and the people who he's talking to don't listen, and the Mechiah should have known that, then he could have caused great calamities to take place. But the focal piece of this Sichas Musa is a Maima that's articulated by the Teichacha that was given by Yosef HaTzadik when he revealed himself to his brothers. And the famous quote is, Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom teichacha. Woe is all of us that when we have to face the music, when we have to face our Yom Adin, our Yom Teichacha, and we see that Yosef HaTzadik, who was the youngest of the Shvatim, that they could not withstand the Teichacha that they heard from Yosef. And though he doesn't quote this, but it is a famous quote, and it said that the Shiftei Kol were so overwhelmed by this Teichacha that they literally died, their neshamas flew out from them because of the shock. They had to face up to confront the reality of what they caused when they sold Yosef HaTzadik, who was innocent of anything that they thought he was guilty of. So much more, says this Maimar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that we, when we're going to have to face Teichacha from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, how overwhelming an experience that could be. And he asks, which is the key question in this piece, exactly what was the Teichacha that Yosef gave? All he said was two words. He said, Ani Yosef. So why was this so overwhelming? Says in the pasuk. And Rashi says, because of busha, because of spectacular embarrassment that they had. What embarrassment was conveyed in these words, Ani Yosef? So he answers, Iker inyan teichacha hu lahamid al achoita When somebody is confronted with the reality of his sin, so he realizes what kind of mistake he made with his sin. After he did the sin, he didn't realize the impact that it had on himself, on Klal Yisrael, on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Kiviyachol. But when the Shiftei Kos heard Yosef say, Ani Yosef, and they realized that they subjected him to being sold and be separated from his father, for 22 years, Talmidim of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz told me that although these words are not printed in this particular piece, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz often said, the Shiftei Kos experienced 22 Yom Kippurs, the 22 years that Yosef was separated from Yankif Avinu, and it didn't occur to them that they have to do tshuva on this profound chet that we suffer from all through the Golos, from this chet. They didn't realize the impact of what they did, and when it hit them, when Yosef said, Ani Yosef, and they realized that he was blameless, and he was a tzaddik, and they were the Rishoyim, that was what made this experience so overwhelming. And there are many details which he uses, Chaim Shmulevitz, which we can't unfortunately discuss because of our time limitation. But he ends this piece by saying that a person should realize when he gives techocha that he's doing a dangerous thing, that the mechiach should be careful not to articulate the sins too powerfully and to not to embarrass the person that he's giving techocha to, because there's a great sakana in it. And he should also realize what will happen if these people who he's giving techocha to might not listen, what the spectacular negative result that could result from this. And this can help us understand the pasuk. Now we understand the pasuk in its entirety. The Torah says you should be mechiach, your fellow member in Klal Yisrael, you should not add to him a chet, and you should not add to yourself a chet that could result from inappropriate techocha given and its impact. So, dear friends, although the Sichas Musar, which we just quoted, gave very clear warnings about how careful we have to be about techocha, the Tiferes Shloima on Pirkei Avos Perek Aleph on the topic of Hevidonis Kol Adam Lechav Zchus articulates seemingly a way more powerful analysis and warnings of how careful we have to be. And he starts off by saying, what difference does it make when the Torah tells us we have to be done everybody lekav zchus? Haloi kapi shvaya golu v'yedua. In Shemaim, they know whether he did a good or bad, this fellow we're talking about. So what difference does it make what we say if we're done him lekav zchus or not? So he says, hanira li, because this mimer illustrates the tremendous power that the words that a Jew articulates about his fellow Jew, hein l'choiv, hein l'schus, whether they're positive words or negative words. Ki kasha odom milamatu hu melitz yoisho medaba schus al chavere, when someone down on this world says something positive, he creates a malach toiv who can do good things for that person that he's talking about. And if, God forbid, he articulates the opposite, and he says something on his chaver ro, so he creates a malach in Shemaim that can physically, to the detriment of the person, harm him, all as a result of the words that he says. And then he connects this to our topic, and he says what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz ended with, focusing on this loisisa lovcheit, that as much as the positive thing he says can affect tangible positive results, so the negative creates a very potent entity, a malach, that can do harm. And then he quotes fascinating things from the tzaddikim of the Doyer. They never said, why did you do this thing wrong? They only said positive things to try to influence this person to better his ways. And he quotes specifically the Yid HaKodesh from Pshisra, who said over from his Rabbi, Reb David Melalev, that one should never articulate anything negative about something that a fellow Jew did, but always to try to couch it in positive terminology, because if one does speak something negative, the effect could be profound. And he gives a very interesting example of Eliyahu HaNavi, who said, Koni Kinesi, Eliyahu HaNavi said that he witnessed that Klal Yisrael abrogated their covenant with Hashem, not honoring their bris. And as a result, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that Eliyahu HaNavi will have to attend every bris in history and bear witness that his children did not abandon the bris. And he quotes how all of the tzaddikim went way out of their way only to say positive things. An amazing example of this, of how far the tzaddikim would go, was the famous story of how the Rebbe Reb Melech and the Rebbe Reb Zisha had a method to bring Teichocha, which was, in a manner of speaking, totally counterintuitive. They would go to a public place like an inn, a kretschma, and one of the brothers would be performing as the Rebbe, the Tzaddik, which of course he was, but the other one was performing as if he was an Avarian, a Choyte, a sinner, and he started crying to the Rebbe in a way that shook up everybody else in earshot in that public place, because the one who was making believe he was a sinner, he said, "Oh Rebbe, I did this sin, I did that sin, I did the third sin," and all of the sins which he said happened to be the sins of the people standing around. In other words, the sinner was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, was one of the rabbis, one of the brothers. They would take turns. And when the sinner, the so-called sinner, really the tzaddik in disguise, would articulate his sins to the Rebbe, then the other people standing around said, "Hey, I did the same sin." So they had a hisoyeris. They were moved to say, "Rebbe, tell me also how to do tshuva from this avera." But they didn't, never said to the person, "You did this and this." He said, "I did this and this." It gave hisoyeris to all the people who heard this. And this was a famous method that was highly praised by the other tzaddikim of the Dora, how the Rebbe Melech and the Rebbe Zisha got people to do tshuva through this unusual manner of teichacha. Although, dear friends, we have articulated a number of fascinating observations from our Chazal, I'd like to end by telling a story which I came across, which seems to be a demonstration of Chochma Bagoyim Tamim. Occasionally, we can find wisdom among the wise people of the world who are not Jewish, which can connect to the words of our holy Chazal. The story was about a state banquet in England in Buckingham Palace, which was attended by the then Queen and Prime Minister Winston Churchill. And at this banquet, someone came up to the head table and told the Queen and the Prime Minister that there is a problem, that one of the seemingly prestigious people attending this event stole a pepper shaker, which seems to have been some sort of heirloom from King George III, which may have been made out of pure gold. It was worth £5,000 at the time, and the people serving at the party didn't know what to do. How could they address this situation? On one hand, if they confront the woman who lifted this pepper pot and confronted her as a thief, it would be a great scandal and a great embarrassment, and the only other option was to let her walk off with it. So they asked, how should they handle this? So the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, with great wisdom, said, "I'll take care of it." And he walked over to a different part of the table where there was a matching salt shaker, which matched the pepper pot, and he put it in his pocket. And he didn't do anything right away, but a half hour later he saw this woman who he knew had pilfered the pepper pot, and he walked over to her and told her, whispered in her ear, "You know, madame, I think that they caught us. I have the salt shaker and you have the pepper pot. I think we should give it back before we're caught." And it strikes me that Chochma Bagoyim Tamim, Winston Churchill, perceived this idea that which we discussed, which were practiced by the Gedolei Yisrael Lahavdol, on how to do a pa'ula, in a manner of speaking, to give teichacha for stealing something without causing embarrassment to the thief. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help. We should be able to see the wisdom from all the creatures of the Bria and all the Chachamim of the world, how it connects to our Torah Kedosha, and we should be Zoicha, that we should all bring Hashpoas Toivis to us, to Klal Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, to see the Gula Shalema, b'mehera v'yameinu amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.